Into them to Matthew chapter 6. And we sing that song, and when we sing it, it's easy. Trusting Jesus, that's all. And then Monday comes. Yeah, but really, that's as simple as it is in the Christian life. We just have to trust Jesus with everything in our life. We'll look at that topic again today as we look at the second part to the message that we started a couple weeks ago. Take no thought for your life. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to go back to verse number 19. And we'll start reading there, and then we'll read through to the end of the chapter, verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves make breakthrough and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray, and we'll get into these verses again this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful for all that you have done for us. First and foremost, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ that you sent down to this earth to die for our sins. Lord, we would not be here today if it was not for Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this marvelous plan of salvation. Lord, your mercy and grace that you richly bestowed upon us. Lord, it's my prayer today that if there be here one that has never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would do that today. That they would see their need for a Savior, that they would recognize their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ as the only person who can take away that sin. Lord, I pray for the rest of us now as we come to the Word of God this morning, we look at the subject of worry and anxiety again. Lord, if we act like the unbelievers, we'll find ourselves very worried and very anxious about the events of this day. But Lord, you've told us in your word that we have no need to be worried. We have no need to be troubled. Lord, I pray that we would begin to practice what we say we believe. Lord, every Christian here says they trust you. But Lord, we find ourselves all throughout the week in fear, Lord, in worry. Lord, I pray that we would trust in your power and trust in your providence. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Lord, I feel often like the man that came unto the Lord and said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Lord, that we would desire our faith to be increased. Lord, that we would have that faith and trust in you, especially during these latter days. Lord, I pray again that you would be with me as I bring forward your word unto your people. Lord, I pray that it might be clear and concise, understandable. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to empower my words. My words are futile. They can accomplish nothing outside of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I pray for your Spirit to move within us. Lord, I pray for your people to allow the Holy Spirit to have full rule and reign in their life. Lord, I pray that you bind the evil one and his demons that, Lord, no doubt are trying to distract us at this time. Lord, I pray that we would give ourselves wholly unto the tension of the Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray again that you would be with us, be with all that said and done. Lord, it's my desire and our church's desire to bring you honor and glory today. Pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. So far, as we have looked a couple weeks ago, we saw three of the first six reasons that Jesus gives why we should not live in worry and fear. Just as a little bit of review, in verse number 25, Jesus teaches that we shouldn't worry about the necessities of life because our life is much more important than the things that sustain it. Again, in verse 25, the Lord says, "Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" If God can give life, which he can and does, Jesus says, can he not sustain that life? Again, the answer to that is, of course he can. If he's powerful enough to give life, he can sustain life as well. So trust God. Don't worry about those things. In verse 26, Jesus teaches that we shouldn't worry because God takes care of the birds, and you are more important than birds. Again, notice again, verse 26, Jesus says, are ye not much better than they? Again, if God takes care of the birds, and the Bible clearly teaches that he does, he provides for them their food. Jesus says, will he not provide for you? Those of you that have called upon him and now his children by faith? Yes, he will. So don't worry. Verse 27, Jesus teaches that we shouldn't worry because worrying accomplishes nothing. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? No amount of worry will make you live any longer. And I think a lot of people in the world today need to understand that. You can worry yourself to death, but you can't worry yourself to life. And this is what Jesus is teaching here. You're only going to hurt yourself, so stop worrying. Take no thought for your life. Today, as we look at these final verses, I want to give you the last three reasons that our Lord gives why we shouldn't live in worry and fear. That brings us to verses 28 and 30 through 30. This is the fourth reason. If God providentially clothes the flowers, which are temporary, then he will also clothe us who are eternal. State that again. If God providentially clothes the flowers, which are temporary, then he will also clothe us who are eternal. Let's read those verses again. Verse 28. Jesus says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So Jesus goes back to what he's been doing so far. He's been arguing from the lesser to the greater. Again, he used this argument in verse 26 when he used the birds. Now he's going to be using flowers. And again, Jesus' argument is simple. If God provides food for birds and if God provides clothes for the flowers, don't you think he'll do the same thing for you? This is a rhetorical question because the answer is so simple. Of course he will. Birds and flowers, as beautiful and as nice as those things are, they're not the same thing as God's creation of mankind. We are created in God's image. And those of us that have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are now his children by faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, what are you worrying about? If he takes care of the birds and if he clothes the flowers, he'll do the same thing for you. Stop worrying. An interesting distinction between the birds and the flowers that Jesus points out in verse 28 is that the flowers toil not, neither do they spin. Again, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the birds. Birds have the ability to work. They can fly around and they can look for seeds and insects, but flowers cannot. They can't go looking for water. They can't go looking for sun. Flowers are wholly dependent upon God to provide the sun and the rain that they need. Now, please don't misunderstand the point I'm making here. I'm not saying we all should just go home and lock our doors and stay inside because we're just going to trust God like the flowers do. We should spend most of our life like the birds, toiling. And God will provide our needs if we toil and if we work. But there will be times in your life, and you might be in one of those places right now, where you will have to completely trust God for your needs. No amount of human effort will be able to provide for you what you need. Perhaps you've exhausted every invention of man. The doctors don't know what to do. Your financial consultant doesn't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Guess what God says? Jesus says, don't worry. Trust God. If He can clothe the flowers who don't work, He can provide for you too. God will meet your needs. You just need to trust Him, pray, and seek His kingdom first. And this is a wonderful truth that ought to calm our anxious souls. If God takes care of the birds of the air, and if God clothes the lilies of the field, then He can take care of us too. It comes down to simply trusting. As simple as that is, it's hard for us to do. In verse number 30, Jesus points out one more thing about the flowers that should give us comfort. He says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, now notice this next phrase, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Flowers don't last long. If you've ever bought flowers for your wife, and maybe this is a good reminder for you to do that again, and you put them in the vase, I mean, even if you put water there, they don't last that long. And they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. In the day of our Lord, they would take dry, withered flowers and they would actually put them in their ovens. That's how they would use it for fire, for their food and kettles and all of that stuff. And Jesus' argument is this. Listen, if God clothes flowers, which are temporary, they're here one day and they're being burned the next day. He says, how much more shall He clothe you who are eternal beings? You're not temporary. You will live after you die, either up there or down there. You are an eternal being. And if you're saved, Jesus says, God will take care of you. Don't worry. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. At the end of verse number 30, Jesus gives us the reason why we often find ourselves worrying about life and the different things in our lives. Notice again the last phrase in verse number 30. Jesus says, O ye of little faith. Now here's the blunt, honest truth. Worry shows a lack of faith. When you worry, whether about the necessities of life or about what's going on in this world, you're showing a lack of faith in the providence and power of God. Is God in control? Then why worry? Can God provide you what you need? Is He powerful enough to do it? Then why worry? You say, but Pastor, I struggle to have that type of faith in my life. Then be like the man in Mark 9:24 who cried unto Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Petition the Lord like the apostles did in Luke 17:5 and say, increase our faith. May I ask you, when was the last time you prayed and asked God to increase your faith? Oh, we'll get down on our knees and pray for God to give us more money. Oh, we'll get down on our knees and pray that God give us better health. But you know what you really need? You need more faith. You need more faith to trust God with your financial needs. You need more faith to trust God with your physical health issues. That's what you need. But we never go to God and say, would you help me with my faith so I can trust you like I should? We need more faith to trust God with everything that's going on in this world today. Listen, I hate to break it to you, but things are not going to get better the closer we get to the Lord's return. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's just the truth. Every Christian I talk to wants the Lord to return quickly, and that's great. I do too. And as we just saw, we should be praying for that. Thy kingdom come. But just have an understanding, when you pray for that, you're praying for it to get bad. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1, this know also, that in the last days, good times, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:13, Paul tells Timothy that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In Matthew 24:6-7, Jesus even tells us, gives us a glimpse of what the world would be like before he returns. He says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Notice this, and there shall be famines, lack of food, lack of necessities, pestilences, contagious diseases, earthquakes, natural disasters. What should we do when these things happened? I skip a verse, a phrase back in verse number 6. I'll go back and read it. Jesus says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. Catch this now. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Too many Christians are troubled and worried by what's taking place in our world today. They're worried about the coronavirus. They're worried about the upcoming election. They're worried about their health. They're worried about everything. And Jesus says, don't be troubled. Matthew 6, he says, don't worry. So why do we? Verse 30. O you of little faith, you don't trust the providence of God, and you don't trust the power of God. You come to church and say you do, and then you go throughout the week and you live in worry and fear. O ye of little faith. Unfortunately, we view our little faith as a little sin. We don't see it as that big of a deal. Oh, we would never commit adultery. Oh, we would never take God's name in vain. But we live in fear and worry every day of our life. One man said this, worry is not a trivial sin because it strikes a blow both at God's love and at God's integrity. Worry declares our Heavenly Father to be untrustworthy in His word and in His promises. Worry is not only debilitating and destructive, but maligns and impugns God. When you worry, you're saying God isn't powerful enough. When you worry, you say God doesn't know what He's doing. When you worry, you call God a liar. And we should be very scared of being in that position in our Christian life. Charles Spurgeon said it like this, little faith is not a little fault, for it greatly wrongs the Lord and sadly grieves the fretful mind. To think the Lord who clothes lilies will leave His own children naked is shameful. O little faith, learn better manners. Again, we just see worry as, just one of those things. It's a big deal. You're maligning the very character of the God you say you trust. Worry strikes at the very nature and character of God Himself. Jesus says, stop worrying. Trust God. He's powerful enough and He's good. He has the ability to take care of His children. Start actually believing He can. The fifth reason that we see here now in our text, probably the greatest reason why we shouldn't worry, found in verses 31 through 33. God knows the needs of His children and He will provide for them. I'll state that again. God knows the needs of His children and He will provide for them. Again, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? clothed, skip the parenthesis, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Yeah, I want you to stop and let that sink in. God knows what you need. And that should stop you from worrying. My children don't worry if there's going to be food on the table. Why? They trust me. They trust that I'm going to put food on their table. Whenever they need something, they don't sit up in their room and worry. They come to me and they ask. Why? Because they know that if they really need something, Dad is good and he will give it to them. Now, here's my question. Why don't we do the same thing with God? I mean, we do it with our earthly fathers. But your heavenly Father is 1,000 times better than your earthly father. Amen. And we have more trust in man than we do in God. It's shameful. Rather than trust God, our good and gracious heavenly Father, we sit in our houses and we worry and fear. For all practical purposes, we act like orphans. We act like we have no father that's watching over us. We act like we have no father that is able and powerful enough to do what he says he can do. We sit around and worry, and therefore we seek after material things. Notice again what Jesus says in verse 32. That's what the Gentiles do. That phrase there is talking about the heathens. Jesus says, that's what the heathen do. They sit around all day worrying and fearing. And then because they have no idea where they're going to get this stuff, they go out and for their whole entire life, they seek after food and clothing and money. Jesus says, that's what the heathen do. That's not what Christians do. Again, I'm not saying we don't work, but we trust God and we seek his kingdom first. Again, verse 33 is one of the main truths of this entire passage. Rather than worry and seek after material things, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what are these things? Food, clothing, water. All these things shall be added unto you. The key to defeating the sin of worry is trust God. Pray and seek his kingdom first. A few weeks ago, we spent a few different weeks looking at the subject of prayer in great depth. A few minutes ago, I talked about faith. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? Simply put, seeking God's kingdom first means that you daily seek his rule and will in all things. Seeking his righteousness first means that you desire personal holiness more than physical necessities. That means every morning when you wake up, you make a conscious decision to put God's will first in your life. Rather than do what you want to do, you do what he wants you to do. Rather than seek to advance your own kingdom, you seek to advance his kingdom. Rather than spend all of your time focusing on your own physical needs, you focus on Christ and your spiritual needs. Practically, this means that you go for your Bible and not your phone in the morning. Oh, that's what we do when we get up. Turn on the TV. Get our phones out and scroll through Facebook. Seek first the kingdom of God. First, literally, first. Rather than spend all day watching football, you spend a good portion of your day studying God's word and praying. Rather than talking with your coworkers about politics all the time, you talk with them about the Lord. rather than busy your children's life with sports and entertainment. You make sure they're in church every Sunday so they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Rather than spending the wealth God has given you solely on yourself, you use His money to advance His kingdom. That is seeking first the kingdom of God. That is seeking first His righteousness. I like what one man said. He said, the person who is busy thinking about Christ and how to serve and glorify Him is too preoccupied to worry about the things of this life. You want to overcome worry and anxiety in your life? Turn off the TV. Stop watching all the election coverage. Stop filling your head with the noise of this world. Stop busying yourself with all the sports and entertainment of this world and start serving the Lord. Get into the Word of God and start praying, trusting, and seeking His kingdom. But Christians no longer do that today. And that is why the average Christian, this is not a small problem in Christianity. That is why the average Christian lives in worry and fear. As Christians, the focus of our existence is not to be on our own interests, but rather on promoting the rule and reign of Christ in ourselves and others. And Jesus says, if you seek to do that, you won't worry, you won't have anxiety, and guess what? It gets better. Jesus says, all these things shall be added unto you. You know all those things you were worrying about? Start serving the Lord. He'll provide them for you. But yeah, we spend all our time worrying and seeking after these things, and you'll find you're never going to get them. Trust God, pray and seek His kingdom first. That's what Jesus is teaching here. If you do that, again, this promise here in verse 33 is not for everybody. When Jesus says, all these things shall be added unto you, the average Christian says, well, that's me. It's not you. Trust God, pray and seek His kingdom, and that promise is yours. But we don't do any of those. And then we blame God. No, God says, trust, pray, seek His kingdom. Then I'll give all these things unto you. But we seek after material things. That goes back to verses 19 through 24. We seek after all the things of this world. And that'll only bring about worry and anxiety in your life. The last reason the Lord gives is in verse number 34. Worrying about tomorrow only adds more trouble to today. State that again. Worrying about tomorrow only adds more trouble to today. Jesus says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Again, please don't misunderstand what the Lord is teaching here. He's not saying that you shouldn't plan or think about the future. Again, in the 1611 English, when we think of thought, we think of thinking. And here the idea is being anxious. Jesus is not saying you can't plan for the future. He's saying don't worry about the future. Take no thought for tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow only adds more trouble and anxiety to today. So what should we do? Serve God by faith in the present. Rather than worry about what might happen tomorrow, serve God by faith in the present. I find it interesting that Jesus personifies tomorrow. He says, for the morrow. So he's talking about the person of tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Basically, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. You don't worry about today. Serve God today. Trust, pray, seek after His kingdom. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Let tomorrow do that. You serve God today. Again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but every day of your life will be filled with problems and troubles. Some people think, well, you must have no problems in your life. We all have problems. We just attack them differently. And you say, well, I don't have any problems today. Well, praise the Lord, you'll have some tomorrow. Okay. Job said it best. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Every day brings new troubles. Jesus says it like this in our passage, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough evil going on today. Why add tomorrow's troubles to today? But yet this is what we often do. We burden ourselves with the cares of tomorrow, which results in us not dealing properly with today. Rather than trust God, pray, and seek His kingdom, we spend all of our time and energy worrying about what might happen tomorrow. And when we do that, we become ineffective Christians for the Lord. Listen, you can't do, and let me say a little bit stronger, you won't do what God wants you to do if you're worrying about tomorrow. If you're worrying about what's going on in your life. You won't come to church if you're worried about your health. You won't give if you worry about your finances. You won't witness if you worry about persecution. You won't live a separated, holy life for the Lord if you worry about what your friends think. You won't seek God's kingdom first today if you worry about tomorrow's problems. Worrying about tomorrow's problems makes us useless Christians for God today. Listen, I wish I could tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I wish I could tell you what's going to happen on Tuesday. I can't tell you that. I don't know the future. But this is who we know. We know the God who holds the future in His hand. Amen. The God that promises to take care of you today is the same God that will take care of you tomorrow. So why are you worrying about tomorrow? Jesus says, trust God today. Pray and busy yourself seeking His kingdom. And when tomorrow comes, guess what you should do? The same thing. Trust God. Pray. And busy yourself by seeking His kingdom. If you would grab your psalm books with me, I'm going to show you the words of a song here real quick. All the way in the back, song 734. We've never sung this before. In fact, I never heard of this until I was studying this. It's just a short chorus, but it's got some powerful words in it. Alfred Smith was a prolific songwriter, just died a few years ago, actually. Song 734. I know who holds the future. Look at the words here. I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, notice this, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to Him my all. Listen, the songwriter knew well the lesson the Lord was teaching here in this passage. I don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. It's uncertain. But I know who holds tomorrow in His hand. And I'm just going to trust Him. Trust Him today. I'm going to pray today. And I'm going to seek His kingdom today. And if Lord willing, tomorrow comes, I'm going to do the same thing again tomorrow. I'm going to trust Him, pray, and give to Him my all. So here in these verses, Jesus gives us six reasons why we shouldn't live in worry and fear. Let me recap these for you one last time. Verse 25, our life is much more important than the things that sustain it. Verse 26, if God providentially cares for the birds, then He will also take care of us. Verse 27, worry accomplishes nothing. Verse 28, if God providentially clothes the flowers which are temporary, then he will also clothe us who are eternal. Verse 32, God knows the needs of his children and he will provide for them. Verse 34, worrying about tomorrow only adds more trouble to today. So here's the challenge. Stop worrying. If we're honest with ourselves, we really have no good reason to do so. Let's trust God, pray, and seek his kingdom first. Let's pray.